Good evening.
Good evening.
Well, it wouldn't be right to start it out without saying what we always say.
Isn't it great?
Isn't it great when you're on this side of the dirt? It's a great day. Amen. We've got a breath in our lungs. We're on this side of the dirt. You know, I've always counted it an honor to be able to share from this pulpit. And I counted it an even greater honor to be trusted, to be handed that with Kelly. Because there was a mighty foundation laid for years. And I've only been a part of it for, 12 years now? But I see that legacy back to, 87? 87. And I count it a great and mighty honor to be able to build upon that legacy. And you know, as I go forward, you know, there's a set of scriptures that I've been looking at and been reading, and I didn't know why, you know? And then it's like the pieces begin to fall together. And I want to spend a little time tonight in the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 1, starting in verse 4. And this is the first part of the book of Jeremiah is all about God's calling of Jeremiah. And in the first couple verses, talks about who Jeremiah was, when the time period was, what's going on around him. But then, in verse 4, it's all about Jeremiah's call and the first vision that he has. And just jumping into it, verse 4, it says, "The Lord gave me this message. I knew you before I formed you in your mother's womb. Before you were born, I set you apart and appointed you as my prophet to the nations. I knew you were before you were born, and I had a plan for you." That applies to Jeremiah's life. It applies to Jeremy's life. It applies to all of our lives in that before you were born, God knew who you were going to be. He put you into a place for such a time as this. And he says, "I have a plan for you." But look at verse 6. Jeremiah's reply was, "O sovereign Lord," I said, "I can't speak for you. I'm too young." In the King James Version, it says, "I can't speak for you because I'm a child." So the Lord comes down to Jeremiah and says, "I have a plan for you. I've known this plan from before you were born." And what's the first response that Jeremiah says? "I can't do it because. I can't do it but this. I hear you, Lord, but I'm a child." It's an excuse under why he was unworthy for the call that God placed on him before he was born. It's an excuse. "I hear you, Lord, but I hear you knocking, but you can't come in." You know, and Jeremiah wasn't alone in that. Moses, the savior of the children of Israel out of Egypt, when God showed up to him in Exodus 3 and 11 and said, "I want you to do this, Moses." What did he do? Exodus 3:11. Moses protested to God, "Who am I to appear before Pharaoh. Who am I? See, that's the question. When the Lord says, I've got a plan for you, who am I? Who am I to do this? And again, in Exodus 4:10, Moses pleaded with the Lord. He says, oh Lord, I am not very good with words. I've never have been, and I'm not now. Even though you have spoken to me, I get tongue-tied and my words get tangled. See, great men of God started out by saying, I hear you, Lord, but who am I? I'm weak. I'm broken. I'm meek. I can't speak in front of people. Who am I? What do I have to bring to you, God? What I have is all of those things. I have my brokenness. I have my weakness. I have all of those things. And at the end of the day, if you say, I have nothing to bring to you, God, you have the most important thing possible, and that's yourself. You yourself are the greatest thing that you can give to God. And over, that's what I begin to think is, who am I to do this? God said, bring yourself. Bring yourself. He says, give all of you for all of me. Give all that I have, all of my brokenness, for all of him. What kind of trade is that? God's getting the short end of the stick if I'm putting myself up against him. If I'm giving everything I have to him, he's giving everything he has to me. All of me for all of him. It's not holding any of it back. Not holding any piece of me back. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6, it says, remember this, a farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop, but one who plants generously will get a generous crop. So many times we use that scripture to talk about money. You know, if you give a little bit, you're going to get a little bit. If you give a lot, you're going to get a lot. But you know what? As I begin to read that, I begin to realize that scripture is more than about money. And it actually has very little to do about it. It has more of me. If I sow, if I give of myself sparingly, God's going to give it back to me sparingly. If I'm stingy with myself, if I can't give all of me for all of him, if all I'm willing to give is a piece, imagine all of the blessings that God is holding back because he wants it all. Because it's an all for an all trade. It's not a piece of me for all of God. It's not half of me for all of the things of God. It's all of me for all of him. In 2 Corinthians 9, verse 7, it says, so you must decide in your heart how much to give. And don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure, for God loves a person who gives cheerfully. See, you got to decide in your heart. I have to decide in my heart every day, how much am I going to give God? Am I going to wake up and give him a piece? Or I'm going to say, Jesus, it's all right here for you, baby. Am I going to give all of it? And sometimes it is a day-by-day decision. Especially when times get hard. You got to wake up, look the devil in the eye and say, not today, Satan. Not today. I'm giving it all to God. I choose Christ. I choose life. And life more abundant. Verse 8, it goes on to say, and God will generously provide all that you need. then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. Actually, that's the New Living Translation. I want to read this in the Message. We don't have it up there, so you'll just have to follow along with me and trust me. 2 Corinthians 9:8 says, God can pour on the blessings in astonishing ways so that you're ready for anything and everything. God can pour out in astonishing ways so you're ready for anything and everything that comes your way. More than just ready to do what needs to be done. And as one psalmist puts it, he throws caution to the wind, giving to the needy in reckless abandon. His right living, right giving ways never run out, never wear out. See, when I'm willing to give all of me to God, He gives it all back to me. And it never runs dry. It never runs out, the blessings of God, if I choose every day to follow after Him, to run with a reckless abandon to the things of God. This most generous God who gives seed to the farmer that becomes bread for our meals is more than extravagant with you. He gives you something you can then give away, which grows into full-formed lives, robust in God, wealthy in every way, so that you can be generous in every way, producing with us great praise to God. See, He gives us, when we give it all to Him, He gives it back so much so that we can't contain it, and we've got to give it to other people. We have to give it away so that we can be generous in every way, producing with us great praise to God. Producing. See, when God's pouring into me, I'm pouring back out to other people around me. Going back to Jeremiah. So he says, I can't speak for you, I'm too young. Verse 7. So the Lord replied, don't say I'm too young, for you must go wherever I send you and say whatever I tell you. And don't be afraid of the people, for I will be with you and protect you. And I, the Lord, have spoken. I, the Lord, have spoken. When He calls you, He speaks it. And that is the final word when it comes to the argument. And see, He's telling Jeremiah there, don't be afraid. Trust me. In Proverbs 3:5, it says what? Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. And what? Lean not unto your own understanding. So if we're giving all of us away to God, that means we're not leaning on our own anymore. We have to trust Him. And last night we had Carson's 8th birthday party at the swimming pool. Many of you were there, and it was awesome. You know, it's always awesome to go swimming and eat some hot dogs and have some cupcakes. But Colton, my youngest one, love that little kid, a little roly-poly. Love the little baby Colton. He wanted to get in to the big pool. He played in the little pool for a little bit, but he was no longer content with the little pool. So he says, I want to get in the big pool, Dad. He bugged me, you know. He's like, I really don't want to get in, but okay. We'll get in. Put his little life jacket on him, and we get into the water, and what is the first thing that he does? Clings tightly to me because he realized the big pool, the water's over his head. He could no longer touch the bottom and run around. So he grabs a hold of me tightly and he's scared. And I said, I remember looking at him and saying, trust me, son, trust me, trust me. And he's still, you know, shaking and scared. I said, son, I have you. Look at me in the eye. And I looked at him in the eye, and I said, son, do you trust me that I'm not going to let you go and let you drown? And he looked at me, and I repeated it. I said, son, do you trust me? And with his big eyes, he looked at me and said, "I trust you, Daddy. I trust you." And then from then on, he let go of that fear. He began to let go of that fear and began to swim around because he knew that my arm was underneath him. See, if I'm willing to look out for my son, how much more is God going to look out for us? Think about that. Because see, that's the thing. It says, don't be afraid. Don't make excuses and don't be afraid. It's the two things that he's telling us. You know, in Proverbs 3:5, nope, I already read that. Isaiah 12:2, it says, "See, God has come to save me. I will trust in him and not be afraid. The Lord God is my strength and my song. He has given me victory. And with joy you will drink deeply from the fountain of salvation." You know, he is my strength. I will not be afraid when I trust in him. That's awesome. I will be able, with joy, I will drink deeply from the fountain of salvation. When it's all said and done, and God says, "Well done," my fat butt's going to be skipping through those gates. Because every single day, I made that decision to seek God, to give all of me for all of him. In Deuteronomy 31:6, it says, "Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid and do not panic, for the Lord your God will personally go ahead of you." It says, "I will personally go ahead of you. He will neither fail you nor abandon you." See, that's an awesome promise of God. If you give all you have to him, he says, "I'll go before you personally, and I'll never fail you. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I will never leave you." And in my 30 some odd years of life, I found that God has never lied. So right there when he says, "I will personally go before you, I will neither fail you nor abandon you," I know God doesn't lie. Man. It's a lot of stuff. There's a couple more verses in Jeremiah I want to look at to round it out. It's our main text here. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse starting in verse 9. So the Lord called Jeremiah. He said, "Oh, not me. The Lord tells him, "Don't be afraid." What does he do? "Then the Lord reached out and touched my mouth and said, 'Look, I've put my words in your mouth. Today I appoint you to stand up against nations and kingdoms. Some you must uproot and tear down, destroy and overthrow. Others you must build up and plant.'" Build up. So that was the thing that stuck out to me. When the Lord says, "I'm going to put my words in your mouth." See, the more I give to God of myself, the more God is going to be in me. The more chance that his words are going to come out, not my words. Because so many times we say words and we try to put God's stamp on it when he never said it.
That's right.
When he never said the words, you said it. You just put his name on it. But there today, he says, "I've put my words in your mouth. Put them in there." And I want to look at verse 11. says, then the Lord said to me, look, Jeremiah, what do you see? Buddy, will you throw that picture up? The Lord says, look, Jeremiah, this is, what do you see? You going to put it up there? Come on. Look, Jeremiah, what do you see? That's what he saw, this picture. What is that? Stick. Jeremiah, he said, he replied, I see a branch from an almond tree. I'm beginning to look at that. I see a branch from an almond tree. That right there is a branch from an almond tree. Looks like any other branch. Doesn't look like anything special, right? Will you throw that next picture up there? Here's another picture of it. A little bit farther along. Those little buds, those little things on the first picture, they've grown a little bit. Verse 11, the Lord said, look, Jeremiah, what do you see? And I replied, I see a branch from an almond tree. And the Lord said, that is right. It means that I am watching, and I will certainly carry out all of my plans. Why is an almond tree special? Why is it more special? Why is he pointing this out? I begin to research, to look at that. And the Hebrew word for watching and the Hebrew word for almond tree are almost the same word. There's one letter difference. And because of that, it became a symbol of watchfulness and a promise due to its early flowering. I didn't realize it, but the almond tree is one of the first trees that flowers every year. I didn't know that. But see, it became a symbol of watchfulness and promise due to that early flowering. It's the first thing that comes up. It's the first thing you can watch. See, the significance there is, it means that I am watching. Who's I? It means that God is watching. God sees us. Bear with me here. And I will certainly carry out my plans. See, right now, Pastor was, Brother Angelo was talking about having a vision. That's what an almond tree looks like. The first one was when it's completely dormant. Nothing's going on. This picture right here where it's slowly beginning to bud is right before it begins to bloom. See, the promise is there. The promise is coming. And then when it comes into full bloom, throw that next picture up. The promise is realized. God says, I've got a vision for us. I've got a continued work for this church. We may look like the first picture. Now, we're a little bit farther along. We're like that second picture where the bud is beginning. I'm looking for the promise that it's going to flower, that it's going to bring forth. Because God is watching. And he promised, I will certainly carry out all of my plans. See, that's the promise he gave to Jeremiah. That's the promise he gives to us today. If we'll give all of me for all of him and get out of the way, get out of God's way. Stop going back to the old ways and focus forward. He says, I will certainly carry out my plans. Amen. And I say that to say this. We're going to get there. Amen. But it takes all of us. It takes all of us to be the hands and the feet of God. It takes all of us giving all of us away. Because, you know, God wants to do something. We've been talking about it for a while. There's something going on, but we have to be willing to do it. We have to be willing to give it all away and stop making excuses for why we can't do something. Why we can't do something. If you can't sing, find something else to do. If you can't preach, find something else to do. Clean the toilet. Wipe down a window. Share the love of God. Because each one of us are a part, an important part. And it's going to take all of us to get to that plan. Thank you. I want to wrap it all up by just saying thank you for what you've done and what you're going to do for this work. Because we're going to do it together. And I want to leave you guys with this. Over in Numbers chapter 6. Will you pull that up, buddy? Numbers 6:24. May the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord show you His favor and give you His peace as we walk out through our week. Thank you. Amen.
God, you know, we're all called. The Word says that every one of you, whether you ever get saved, you have gifts on your life and you have a mission. Every one of you do. And the regretful thing is when we don't match up, when we don't meet up with our calling and with our gifts and begin to understand them. And churches like this are churches that want you to understand your gifts and your calling. And so keep that in mind. And we want to do a couple of things here. Who can help me with these bananas, Alvy? You want to help me? Let's see if these, all you kids that want bananas, and then we're going to ask you to help us. Kelly will be out here, I think.